the 1975 and two time, and we started the hour with what? We started the hour with Mine's Gone a Complete Blank. Gosh, it's getting bad, isn't it? I'll come back to me in a minute. IKEA is planning to sell spare parts for its furniture in a bid to scale up its green credentials. The Cure and Love Song, that's what it was. The Swedish firm said it was looking at selling items such as sofa legs and covers and armrests, in addition to the replacement nuts and bolts it currently offers for free. Good idea, because things do snap off IKEA furniture. And if you get a spare part rather than buying a completely new model, that would help, wouldn't it?
It depends how you put them together.
With your DIY skills, how's your floor coming along?
Oh, don't. I think I'm nearly going to be... I'll probably soon be down below.
Oh, dear.
There's a big hole.
IKEA's aim is to prolong the life of its products and dispel the idea it makes disposable goods. The firm said plans were at an early stage and there was no launch date yet. Despite trying to make its products last longer, the company said it expected the impacts on new furniture sales to be limited, arguing it would help make its products more accessible. It's the latest move by the firm aimed at trying to make sure its products are used for longer rather than being discarded when people buy new items. The bookcases aren't very good. Yeah, Billy bookcases. I've got a couple of those. Eventually, when you put too much stuff on them, the back comes off and the shelves start sagging.
That happens to most of my furniture because I picked it up in a skip. I used to go around every Wednesday. You know how the first Wednesday of every month,
yes,
they throw things out?
So they don't anymore.
Charlotte was mentioning this because my front door won't close. She said, "Mum, I'm sure that with the insurance, like if we did get, you know..." Sorry, I'm just telling everybody my front door doesn't close.
And Sarah lives at...
Your face, you look rather worried. I said, "Well, there's not much to take." And then I realised that somebody was saying to me the other day how important it is to have receipts for everything.
Yes.
Well, I don't have a receipt for anything because I've picked most of it up in a skip. I think the only thing I bought from IKEA is my sofa. That's not terribly clever. You sit on it and you end up on the floor after about half an hour.
Do people still leave their stuff out on the first Monday?
First Wednesday of every month,
really?
Yeah.
Because you have to make an appointment with the mayor,
I don't know now with the COVID. I haven't done it for a while because I haven't got any more room.
It's quite some time. It's been quite some time. You have to actually fill in a form from the mayor and send it to them and then they come and pick it up for you.
Yeah.
They'll give you a date.
They give you a date, yeah, like they did with the Christmas trees.
There are lots of people who do drive around and just pick stuff up.
You can get some. I've got some great stuff and it's still, yeah, you know, wearing very well.
Previously, I mean, when you did leave your stuff out on the first whatever it was of the month, I used to, you know, used to put quite a lot of stuff out. And I left a wooden computer desk out there, we got a new one and I sort of took it to bits and put it outside. Drove, walked past half an hour later, it had gone.
I used to put stuff out and then Bert would bring it back in. Or it's like if I took clothes to the charity shop and then I'd find them making their way back into the apartment.
Anyway, the new IKEA offer applies to furniture typically without upholstery, such as the famous Billy bookcases, chairs, stools, desks and dining tables. IKEA said that any items which cannot be resold will be recycled. Time for the pop quiz.
Well, you can remember what happened maybe 20, 30 years ago, but...
I can't remember what happened 5 minutes ago.
Well,
it's getting worrying, 2014. 2014?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Well, it's the year the Tour de France started in Leeds. It's also the year when police in the UK have stopped a learner driver from speeding on the M62 in West Yorkshire. Why? Because she was accompanied only by her pet parrot. Since parrots are not allowed to supervise learner drivers, her vehicle was seized, according to a police tweet. And the Mayor of London, Boris Johnson, was named Honorary Australian of the Year for displaying Aussie characteristics in abundance. But the Brit Awards of this year nominated the following bands for British Group, presented by Lily Allen. But which one took away the Brit Award? Was it One Direction, Bastille, or the Arctic Monkeys?
2014.
Mm-hmm.
Arctic Monkeys.
Correct. Question number two, British male solo artist, which was presented by Noel Gallagher. The nominees were James Blake, John Newman, or David Bowie.
2014. David Bowie.
It was. It was collected by Kate Moss. And finally, the British single of the year for 2014. Do you want to have a wild guess or am I going to give you some choices? Okay, the nominees included John Newman with Love Me Again, Bastille with Pompeii, Calvin Harris with I Need Your Love, and Rudimental featuring Waiting All Night.
Rudimental.
Sorry, Waiting All Night featuring Ella Eyre.
Rudimental.
Yes, very good. And it was also the year when Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin consciously uncoupled, in case you were wondering.
Rudy Mentz. Which one was it?
Waiting All Night.
Okay.
You remember it, don't you?
No.
I've been waiting all night.
Have you?
Yeah.
We're doing remarkably well this morning, then.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
A little bit cold, it has to be said. The heating in Potts Towers has, it broke last night. And we pay for these people to sort of come and provide 24-hour-a-day service, and they couldn't come to a Wednesday, which didn't really help me out very much. So it's all been somewhat of a cold, refreshing night, I like to think of it as.
You should give Charlie Mullins a call.
Do you
Pimlico
think
plumbers.
Send someone over?
They're not just any old plumbers, they're Pimlico plumbers.
They are nice plumbers, actually. They are good. All the number plates relate to their work, don't they?
I didn't know that.
You see them driving around, it's all of like WC Lou and all this sort of stuff.
WC Lou?
Well, you know, they're all plays on that basic theme.
Oh, I thought he was the Conservative MP for North Somerset, but there you go. Right, markets mixed on Wall Street yesterday. Elsewhere, sort of Europe was down, and investors are sort of a bit concerned over possible roadblocks to this proposed $1.9 trillion stimulus package.
Yeah, I think that sums up quite nicely. European shares dropped to a three-week low yesterday, and concerns over COVID restrictions offsetting some optimism around government stimulus and the impact it's going to have in terms of corporate earnings. Stock 600 slid 0.8%. Cyclicals under pressure. Banks, car makers, travel and leisure the biggest losers. Perhaps no surprise. Personal care, drugs and grocery stores outperforming. On Wall Street, the S&P 500 is up 0.4%. Although, say, sentiment did take a downturn after Senate Democrats said it would take at least a month to try and pass a stimulus bill, and US health officials expressed concerns around the current vaccination rate. The market's looking for how long it will take to achieve the herd immunity, and they are rewarding those who are moving faster towards that. For example, if you look at the stock markets in Israel and Dubai, they've been outperforming broader indexes on hopes that they will achieve that rate sooner. I think Israel were now at 30% in terms of the population that's been vaccinated. The UAE, I think, is around 20%. So significant differences starting to shine through. Investors perhaps rewarding that. Overnight, People's Bank of China reduced some liquidity and warned about bubbles. That's led to weakness in Chinese equity markets overnight, down around about 2%. Opening calls on the European bourses still remain steady, actually, currently calling FTSE up 8 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 11 points. CAC in Paris off 1 point.
See, Crystal Palace are playing West Ham last night. This tonight. Do you think the Crystal Palace manager has warned his team about bubbles?
Forever blowing. Actually, Henry's, I think there's some Crystal Palace players actually in Henry's class.
Crystal Palace players in Henry's class. Yeah. Well, they wouldn't get back a few years.
Wouldn't surprise me, to be honest with you, from what I've seen.
Oh dear. Anyway, act big, must you?
I can't be doing this for 4 years. Janet Yellen appointed 78th Treasury Secretary in the United States, the first woman to hold that job. I think only the second person to have been Fed Chair and Treasury Secretary. Market sentiment around her appointment is positive. I think she's very much seen as a safe and experienced pair of hands. She's been advocating the need for additional stimulus, maintained that message when she delivered testimony to the Senate Finance Committee, saying the US must act bid to revive the economy. She pushed back against fears the administration would seek to aggressively hike corporate taxes, but did indicate the need for federal debt to be put onto a sustainable path, but only went as far as saying eventually. I think most comforting for markets is she's expected to find much greater levels of coordination between the Fed and the Treasury, something, of course, we didn't see under the last administration.
Yeah, she's got a job on her hands, so especially trying to get this $1.9 trillion stimulus package through, because a lot of Republicans are digging their heels in.
Yeah, they're looking at the bill and they're looking where that money's going, particularly to local and state governments, and particularly increasing checks to households and, of course, further unemployment benefits. And they're the areas that Republicans have been concerned about. So for big pieces of legislation, it's not simply enough to have the casting vote by the vice president. The truth is they'll need broader support. And we've spoken about this idea. You may talk about this blue wave, but the reality is the true whole power is really being held by, I think, the centrists in the United States on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah, but what's the alternative? I mean, if you don't spend, it's going to result in millions of jobless and people losing their homes.
Very much so, and that's what Janet Yellen's talking about. And she spoke about what she learned as we went through the great financial crisis, about the need to act early and to act aggressively, something they perhaps failed to do in to the extent that was required last time out, and says doesn't want to make that same mistake this time.
Well, you should get over there and come up with a good repayment plan for them, you know. So,
you look at debt has gone up dramatically, but the cost of servicing that debt with interest with very low rates of interest is actually not too bad. So at the moment, it certainly is sustainable. Certainly, plenty of room to push ahead with this aggressive plan.
And it's going to be a long time before interest rates are up to anything like they were sort of even the financial crisis.
Yeah, exactly right. We'll hear from the Federal Reserve tomorrow, but they're talking about keeping interest rates at close to zero through 2023. Elsewhere, no signs that you're going to see higher interest rates. The European Central Bank, of course, left rates at deposit rate at minus 0.5% last week. They're expected to keep rates at least at that level, I think, probably for the next 2 years. So very few signs that we'll be seeing higher interest rates anytime soon. Although if we start to see that inflation picking up, maybe that starts to put pressure on central banks to think about normalising policy. But again, normalisation will be at much lower rates than we were used to before the financial crisis, certainly before the pandemic.
And UBS making the news today.
Yeah, UBS said it would buy back as much as 4 billion Swiss francs worth of shares over the course of the next 3 years, bolstering shareholder returns. So after income from managing clients' assets and investment banking helped to propel earnings, bank finished off the year strongly. Fourth quarter net income came in at $1.7 billion, helped by soaring stock markets, of course, which related to higher recurring revenue, driving a 22% gain in private banking. Conservative lending policy as well, selling aside only $66 million in the quarter to cover bad loans. That was much less than the markets were anticipating. Also started to see banks releasing some of these reserves that they've set aside. That was a key feature of the US banking reporting season, starting to see it a little bit in Europe. So some good news on the back of that. Trading activity, as we've seen elsewhere, very strong, up 21%. In terms of the outlook, it said seasonal factors in the first quarter will mean they'll see higher client activity. Lots of uncertainty around the pandemic, but they did say higher asset prices should have a positive effect on recurring income and its asset managing businesses.
And in the footballing world, another one bites the dust at Stamford Bridge.
Yeah, it's a shame. I like Frank Lampard. I've met him a couple of times, I have to say, and he's a wonderful guy, and he's very open, and I've had some really interesting conversations with him. So I was sorry to see him go. He was a legend at Chelsea, of course, and you thought if anyone would be given more time, it would be someone like Frank Lampard. So I think it's somewhat of a shame there, to be honest with you. As I drove past the training ground yesterday, actually, there was lots of news cameras and blah, 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 so it was clear something was happening, and as we found out later in the day, that was the case.
Well, some managers are given more time, but that is not the way it works under Roman Abramovich, unfortunately.
No, and he did speak about his personal relationship with Frank Lampard, saying he respects him, club icon and all those types of things, but 5 games lost is 5 games lost, I suppose.
It's all about the Champions League, really, isn't it? So if you don't qualify for the Champions League, you lose a lot of revenue, but with no fans in the stadium at the moment, it's hard to see why he wasn't given more time.
Yeah, I think it's difficult. So how many? I was reading under the Abramovich era. Maybe this isn't a correct figure. They've paid £110 million paying off managers' contracts in that time.
The average payoff is around £16 million. So
it's, once you get a job, even though you've got a good chance of being sacked, it's not the worst deal in the world, is it?
No. Right, foreign exchanges, please.
I'm sure the headmaster will give you something similar. Pound against the dollar coming in just above 136. Euro dollar coming at 121. Can you get 1 euro 12 cents? Or maybe you'll just get a Swatch watch and sent on your way.
You'll probably give me 16 million Italian lira. You can't even bank them anymore. Right, thank you very much.
Talk
to you tomorrow. Hang pots and Barclays. You better get down Robert Dyson, buy some hot water bottles.
See ya.
At the Full English Breakfast Show, we have a guest in the studio this morning. Alicia Sedgwick will be familiar to fans of Stars and Bars and generally in the Monaco area, and she has a new book out. Hello, Alicia.
Hello, Rob.
Are you okay?
Yes, very well. Thank you so much. It's lovely to be here. Hello to you. Hello to Sarah.
Well, thanks for coming in these very difficult times. The book is called Communicating Through Change and helps you to find your inner strength and to speak up for yourself. So tell us about this.
Thank you. Yes, Communicating Through Change. It's all about I share with you my personal experience of change, and there's been a lot of that in my life, and what I've learned from that, and then give you practical exercises for you to be able to communicate your way through the same or similar experiences, with affirmations then affirm what I've taught you in the chapter. And it's really expressed my vulnerability to demonstrate that there is strength in that, and that you can indeed embrace change, that you can accept it and be able to move forward. And of course, in these very uncertain times and very changing times, it's really an embrace for the reader to help them get through and cope and deal with massive changes.
Yes, well, prevarication is one of my favourite words in the English language, and I'm extremely good at it. So how do we get around that?
Prevarication. Well, you know, that could take a very long time for me to help you with that, Rob. I suggest read the book, because it will really help you to actually get on and do something. And also help you, though, when you need not to do and just to be, which sometimes is necessary when you are particularly going through trauma, grief, bereavement, that you actually need to take your time. So prevarication sometimes can be a positive thing too.
Yeah, you do need time to sort of work things through, but you can't sit on your sort of haunches for ages, can you, really? You've got to make a decision at some point.
I think that you have to allow yourself the time that it takes you. I think that we often forget that we are human beings rather than human doings. So sometimes, you know, I think you need to give yourself almost permission to take your time. And then you will move forward. And that's okay. It's all right to accept that maybe you can't do something now and you need to take the time before you can move forward positively.
Says you're a lawyer here. Does that mean we have to pay you for this this consultation?
I was a lawyer in another life, and I've moved on from that, thank goodness.
Well, that's a pretty big area of change, isn't it? Because, I mean, you study very hard to be a lawyer, and it's a sort of fairly good way of earning a living. So, you know, what made you change? What was the catalyst for that?
I think that when I started to come to the south of France, I was very conscious of wanting to be different in terms of that I really wanted to be myself and my true self. And as I speak about in the book, that involved changes in my relationships and my identity, and also in my career. You know, I was very frustrated as a lawyer in terms of I loved being able to help people, but the law is an ass and it's unjust. And so working within that framework was very difficult. So when I came to the south of France, I wanted to be able to help people in a positive way and in a framework that wasn't so regulated that you actually couldn't do the job that you wanted to do as a lawyer.
Of course, as we said at the start, some of these are very difficult times. What advice would you offer to somebody who's lost a loved one through COVID or has been extremely ill themselves because of this horrible virus?
Oh, absolutely awful. And I think that, you know, I have on the chapter on bereavement, there's a couple of chapters on bereavement. I lost my brother when he was 18 and I was 15. I lost my parents. And so I talk about bereavement in those situations. I do speak about ill health as well, because I've been through that. And of course, living through a pandemic. And it's very, very much about, you know, accepting that there has been that loss and being able to, as I said earlier at the start of this conversation, that you can take your time to heal and to work through it. You know, we go through stages of grief. I know that you've had my lovely friend Gavin Sharp here, and he's spoken about loss and how we deal with that. And, you know, the stages of grief are very much that there's denial, there's depression, there's anger, there's a lot of guilt sometimes too, and particularly during the pandemic, because we haven't been able to be with our loved ones when they're ill and if they have sadly died. So a lot of guilt around it too. So you have to be able to accept that you are going to go through those phases. It's going to hit you like waves. Let those waves ride over you, and then take your time, breathe, and really acknowledge that it's quite normal for you to go through those stages.
Even if you haven't lost a loved one, I mean, a lot of people are staring at this coronavirus and thinking there's no way out of this. I mean, people might have lost their jobs, you know, they might have lost their homes, a lot of businesses have been struggling. So again, this is something that needs to be dealt with, but you have to take your time.
Yes, I believe so. And, you know, I do give you practical exercises, as I mentioned, to be able to communicate your way through the changes. And each exercise has, you know, very positive steps for you to be able to take. And, you know, during the pandemic, I think that it's very necessary for you to be able to think about all of the things that you have lost, yes, but also all of the things that you perhaps would like to do now and that you can do now, because it is a different life. It's a new normal. And so being able to actually give yourself permission to feel the grief for what you've lost, but also to be able to think about, okay, what can I do now that is going to be different and that actually can move me forward in a very positive way, that I can see it as an opportunity.
Okay, let's cut to the chase. Is there a happy ending?
In my world, Rob, there is always a happy ending, because when you are part of my world, particularly with my communication training, you become a member of Team Alicia. And Team Alicia is all about support, care, nurturing, where you are in an environment where you're free to be yourself and that you're not going to be judged. And so, yes, in my world, there is a happy ending, because you've got that support, you've got that network, and you've got that loving care.
Well, the book's been a runaway success so far. Are you surprised about how popular it is and, you know, how many people desire to change?
I'm delighted, actually, and I'm thrilled. I actually wanted the book to be out very quickly in this year because I knew that it was very, very relevant and very pertinent. And I think that the sales and the reviews are demonstrating that people really appreciate the help that it's giving them and the support, because, you know, people do feel very unstable and very uncertain and insecure. So this book really is an embrace, and it gives them positive steps, practical steps that they can take to communicate their way through that uncertainty.
Right, and how do we get hold of it?
You can get it on Amazon all over the world, and for a limited time you can download it on your Kindle for a mere 99 cents.
Gosh, who could refuse such a generous offer? Alicia Sedgwick, thank you very much for coming in, and I hope to buy you a glass of champagne when Stars and Bars is fully up and running again, we're allowed out.
I will look forward to that, and I will drink to your health. Thank you so much, Rob, and thank you, Sarah, too. You know, I listen every morning, and I really, really appreciate your positivity and the information as well that you give us, so thank you very much.
That's very kind of you to say so. Have you ever considered change?
Yes, I've considered changing my radio station, and then no, never, never, never. It's always Riviera Radio.
Well, you had it from the horse's mouth, Alicia. Thank you very much.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online, this is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lysa has the top stories across the Riviera.
The regional health agency has said that 17 people died from COVID in the Outmaritime this weekend, with the number of patients in intensive care increasing slightly. To date, 772 people have died in the region's hospitals and 270 in nursing homes, bringing the total number of deaths from COVID in the Outmaritime to 1,042. 359 people are currently hospitalised and 84 people are in intensive care. The occupancy rate of intensive care beds remains stable but high at 82.9%. In Monaco, 11 new cases of COVID were reported on Monday, bringing the total number of residents affected to 1,368. 54 people are currently hospitalised and 145 people are being followed by the Home Monitoring Centre. Meanwhile, on Monday, His Serene Highness Prince Albert II of Monaco took stock of the vaccination campaign in the Principality to ensure the mobilisation of all services and the guarantee of supplies. 4,000 Monegasques and residents have already been vaccinated since the campaign started on December the 31st. The French government is not expected to make any new announcements just yet concerning the possible third confinement, reportedly wishing to wait and see the effects from the current national 6pm curfew, which should be known by Saturday the 30th of January. The head of state is also waiting on more information concerning the progress of the vaccination campaign in France. France's prime minister confirmed on Monday that decisions will be taken this week, adding that it's not a question of lowering the guard. Meanwhile, the president of the Scientific Council, Jean-François Delfrassy, has called for France not to procrastinate, faced with the threat of variants of the virus, which completely changed the situation. A health defence council will be held tomorrow morning, Wednesday the 27th of January. On Monday, latest figures showed that the number of intensive care patients in France reached just over 3,000 for the first time since December the 9th. In other news, with an avalanche risk of between 4 and 5, the mayor of Gordolask has called for a ban on Nordic skiing and hiking. Paul Barreau, at the weekend, ordered restrictions on certain mountainous areas in the hinterland of Nice due to the avalanche risk. The decision has caused protests from mountaineers. Several teaching unions have announced industrial action today. The action is to draw attention to what the unions claim is mismanagement of the health crisis in schools and to protest against current salary levels. The Nice Town Hall has issued a reminder that the wearing of a mask is mandatory throughout the city. You're liable to a fine of €135 if you're not wearing one. Finally, Oxfam has warned of global inequality if governments don't change their economic policies. France is third only to the United States and China in terms of how the wealth of billionaires has grown throughout the COVID pandemic. In its annual report on global inequality, Oxfam reports that the world's 10 wealthiest people, all of them men, saw their collective fortunes soar by $500 billion since the COVID pandemic began, even though the world economy is smaller. The report is based on data from Forbes 2020 billionaire list and includes France's wealthiest person, LVMH President Bernard Arnault, along with Jeff Bezos of Amazon, Elon Musk of Tesla, and Microsoft founder Bill Gates, Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg, amongst others. Their combined gains would be enough to pay to vaccinate every person in the world and ensure no one is pushed into poverty.
Riviera Radio, Sports News.
Football, Frank Lampard has lost his job as Chelsea manager. Here are the details from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Al Ross at BBC Sport, and Chelsea have sacked manager Frank Lampard, with former Paris Saint-Germain boss Thomas Tuchel expected to take over. Lampard's been in charge for 18 months, but their recent form has been poor. The former England midfielder leaves with Chelsea ninth in the Premier League, having won just once in their last five league matches. The former Chelsea winger Pat Nevin thought he deserved to be given longer in the job.
If you look at the Chelsea method over the years of giving managers a very short time and then changing it around, it has actually been really quite successful. So painful though it is, and it hurts me, and I wouldn't have done it, I understand why the club have done it.
Lampard's uncle is the former Tottenham and West Ham boss, Harry Redknapp.
He won't give up. You know, if he wants to come back in, I think he'll have a break and come back better for it. He'll learn a lot of lessons from this job. He'll learn an awful lot about himself and about how to deal with people, and he'll come back a better manager. I still think he's got a great future as a manager.
In Monday's only FA Cup game, Tottenham had to fight from a goal down to beat second-tier Wycombe Wanderers late on. Two late goals from Tanguy Ndombele sealing a 4-1 win. Ndombele, Harry Kane and Son Heung-min were among the substitutes brought on by Jose Mourinho to change the game.
I brought him here, let's say, just in case, because I knew that that could perfectly happen. So they come to the game fresh, they come to the game last 20, 30 minutes, and of course they brought a different intensity to the game.
Spurs now go to Everton in round 5, and for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League Update from the home of Premier League football.
Thought they'd wheel Harry Redknapp out for that one. Yeah. Goodbye, Super Frank. I think he should have been given longer, but that's football, as they say.
Well, he said he'll come back as a better manager.
Yeah, but I mean, if you look at Solskjaer at Manchester United, we were saying sort of a few weeks ago that he was right for the chop, and United supports him in their top of the league. Same with Arteta at Arsenal, who's been given more time. But that's the way it is at Chelsea, unfortunately. In the English Premier League tonight, Crystal Palace play West Ham.
Oh, that's going to be a good match. It will be a draw.
West Ham. Newcastle play Leeds.
Has to be a win for Leeds.
I think that could be the final nail in the coffin for Steve Bruce. What do you think?
Yeah.
Could be. Southampton play Arsenal.
Has to be Arsenal.
Southampton.
Oh.
And West Brom against Manchester City.
Man City. Mm.
Well done, Einstein. Formula One, the Mercedes team boss Toto Wolff has revealed he contracted coronavirus earlier this month. Wolff says he's now recovered after submitting a positive test during a break in Austria. He said he had no symptoms and is now out of quarantine. Wolff also said he was in the process of negotiating a new contract with Lewis Hamilton to race on with Mercedes this year and was confident it would be concluded before the start of pre-season testing in Bahrain in March. Cricket. England have completed a 2-0 Test Series victory over Sri Lanka. Joe Root's side won the second test in Gaul by 6 wickets and have now won 4 series in a row and are unbeaten in 10 successive tests. It's day one of the first test between Pakistan and South Africa in Karachi. South Africa won the toss and decided to bat. They're 76 for 2 after 20.2 overs. Rugby union Joe Marler and Joe Launchbury have both pulled out of England's Six Nations squad. Launchbury has a stress fracture to his leg, while Marler has pulled out for personal reasons. England play their Six Nations opener against Scotland on February the 6th. And Jacob Stockdale has been left out of Ireland's Six Nations squad. The back is still recovering from a knee injury. Ireland start their campaign against Wales in Cardiff on February the 7th. Here's the marine weather forecast for coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Isle of Maritime in the VAR. The general situation is an anticyclone 1,024 millibars over Spain and southwestern France. Winds are westerly, force 2 to 4. The sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat 1,005 millibars. And the outlook for Wednesday, partially cloudy, force 2 to 4 variable winds, slight seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are westerly, force 2 to 4. The sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,006 millibars. And the outlook for Wednesday, partially cloudy, force 3 to 5 westerly winds, slight to moderate seas, and good visibility.
Riviera Radio, weather.
Mainly fine again today and a lot less windy. Light to moderate southwesterlies. Top temperature 12 degrees. Overnight lows 5 degrees with partially cloudy skies. Wednesday and Thursday partially cloudy with highs of 10 to 12 degrees. Finally.
A study has found that musicians who began training at a young age have super-connected brains compared to those who don't play instruments. People who started learning an instrument at a young age have super-connected brains. Experts compared the brains of 153 volunteers, including professional musicians, non-musicians and those with absolute pitch. They found that those that began training at a young age, such as Mozart, have stronger brain connections than those who picked up their instruments later in life. Whether it's the piano, the clarinet or the trumpet, researchers found musicians have stronger structural and functional connections in the brain compared to non-musicians, according to the team behind the study, and time makes them stronger. This applies regardless of whether musicians have absolute pitch, that is the ability to identify a tone without a reference or not.
Perfect pitch.
According to the researchers. I've taken up the piano again. I'm teaching Charlotte at the moment. No, I'm the last track, the last piece of music I learnt was Solo Mio. And I'm quite good at it now.
Just one cornetto. Didn't do Mozart much good that, though, did it? That's a faster brain process. He popped his clogs when he was 30.
Well, yeah, but he did pretty well in between. I mean, some of the things he came out with. Anyway, so yeah, I'm trying to get through it with Charlotte. She said she'll let me teach her. So we shall see. Right. Although she did ask me last night, what did we do before television? So what did you do in the evenings before television? I said, how old do you think I am?
Yeah, we did have television back in the 1970s.
I know, but her debate was, well, what do you do when there's no television? Because she's trying to come off.
Three channels we had. BBC One, BBC Two and ICV.
And you had to get up to change them.
No,
as
my
well.
Dad came up with a thing. He had a long pointy stick and he used to just, like, reach out to the television and change the channel
he
like
didn't.
That. He did, yeah. That's just how active he
what
was.
What a legend.